We have a special treat. My daughter Kaylee is going to be bringing the Word of God. Amen. Some of y'all probably think I've been lollygagging lately. I know Jason preached a couple weeks ago, and then I went kind of short last week, and then Kaylee's coming today. But no, I'm fine. I just do what I'm told from God. So amen. So if I have Kaylee come up, and really proud of Kaylee. You know, she's a girl that's always been on fire for God. And she went down to Bible college down at Victory in Tulsa, and she ended up staying. So now I did the same thing. I went to Denver for 9 years. I didn't go there to go to Bible school. I went out there just to get away from here because I was going to kill myself if I stayed here. But God got a hold of me out there. So I was out there 9 years. How long have you been down there?
Seven.
So we're hoping. She might have two more years down there, so we'll see. But no, we're wanting to see her come back and be a part here in Iowa. No pressure, but anyway. But no, we're all glad that you know, she's turned out to the godly woman she has, and you know, just she loves the Lord, and she has a vlog, and she tries to help people that way. So she's been in ministry for a while, and she's the one who always does the behind the scenes while I'm preaching. She does it even down in Tulsa on Facebook. So I'm going to try to do that part today. I don't know if I'll do it as good as she does,
probably not.
But anyway, we'll just turn it over to her, and amen.
Amen. Well, I'm so excited to be here this morning, and I hope that you guys have also been encouraged by the prayer series that we just had a few weeks ago from Pastor, and then also the individual sermons from Jason and my dad. So I've really enjoyed them, and I don't always have the honor of being in service. Like he said, I'm with the online crew, so we are thankful for the online crew, and I'm just so thankful for technology because I feel like COVID-19, the enemy wanted to stop the churches, but I feel like we've gotten stronger, and we are honestly reaching more people than never before, so I think that's just amazing. But the scripture that I want to start with today is Psalms 118, verse 24, and this scripture, it's a declaration, and I'm sure most of you have heard it, but I hope that you make this declaration for your life, and it says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us, you and me, rejoice and be glad in it." So I want to take the short time that I have with you today to share this word that God put on my heart. And so if you're taking notes, the title of today's sermon is "This is the Day." So will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for every person here at River Life and watching online. Lord, I pray that we receive from you today. Lord, let me get out of the way that they are not my words, but yours, God. Let us see you in a new light. Let us understand your love deeper and know that the call of God is on every single one of our lives. Lord, I pray we reach our community and far beyond. Lord, speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen. 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 So 2020, it's definitely not the year that we thought it would be. And I feel like most days we're kind of just taking it day by day. And I like to think of myself as a disciplined person. And actually, I took a personality test, and discipline is in my top 5 strengths. And so when I think of being disciplined, I think of things being in order. But for me, 2020 has kind of been hard to get myself in order because of all the constant changes. I don't know if anybody can agree with me, but I am, and probably like you are, we're just taking it day by day. But what I see is that we are taking this season and we are conquering it day by day. We are trusting God day by day, and we are seeing the purpose that God has for our lives day by day. Now, there's a lot of disciplines out there, but today we're going to talk about the discipline of celebration. And it's a spiritual discipline that we must allow to be formed and shaped within our soul. So what does it mean to celebrate? The definition of celebrate is to acknowledge a significant or happy day or event with a social gathering or an enjoyable activity. Another definition is to honor or praise publicly. What you need to understand about celebration is you don't just celebrate when you feel happy. Celebration, it's been given to us as a gift from God, and it is used to be in the hardest moments of our life. And that's why celebration, it's a discipline. We have to learn the discipline of celebration, because what you emulate, you celebrate. And we see this as early as childhood. What you choose to celebrate in your children, they will choose to value, because you've chosen to acknowledge that, and that's what you've put your focus on. So it speaks to a child what is celebrated. They choose to value what you choose to honor it, and they choose to respond to it, because that's what we see in our culture. We celebrate the wedding day more than we do seeing someone celebrate 25 years of marriage, and it's because we've chosen to celebrate that. We love starting things. We love new beginnings in our culture. And it's not that starting your marriage is more important than completing your marriage. It's just that you and I have decided in our culture that starting a marriage, there's a massive celebration. And that's the way we've designed it. But you get to design the culture of celebration in your own life. And when we're intentional with celebration, we can use it as a tool to actually build. Because celebration isn't just about a moment or about our feelings, it's how we build our life. And there are certain moments and there are certain experiences that you can look back on that were marked in your life. And that was a moment of celebration, because that moment, it was important. That moment was acknowledged, because celebration, it matters. Now today is a really special day because it's my mom's birthday. So yes, Mom, we celebrate you. Now, my mom, she knows how to celebrate. Every year when it was my brother's or my birthday, she would make a sign for us and hang it in the kitchen, and she would make our favorite breakfast, and she would make our favorite dinner. She would make a cake, and we would have a theme. And she set that culture of celebration for our family. So now I can look back on the memories 30 years now of those marked moments of celebration that she had the discipline of celebration for us on our birthday. Because celebration, it can direct your perspective. Because as we read in Psalms chapter 118, the psalmist declares that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He's celebrating. It sounds like he literally just got out of the right side of the bed, or maybe he just fell in love for the first time, or maybe he just got a raise, or maybe he just became a grandparent. But what you need to understand about chapter 118 is the psalmist was in one of the darkest seasons of his life. He was struggling. He was in pain. He felt like a failure. He felt like his life all around him was crumbling. He felt like, I'm not moving forward, I'm taking steps back. But yet in the middle of his darkest season of life, while feeling overwhelmed, while feeling confused, he decided to say that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad. Why? Because he decided to cultivate that discipline of celebration. He discovered that what celebration builds in his life. And that even in the darkest seasons of life and even in the most struggling seasons of his life, celebration, it was key to him to actually being able to move forward. So what you actually need to know about celebration is you need celebration in crisis. You need celebration in confusion. And you definitely need celebration at the crossroads of your life. To live a life marked day by day takes discipline. And to live a life marked by celebration, it takes more than just looking at what is obvious and easy to celebrate and what everyone else is celebrating, but it takes you allowing God to cultivate in your soul to be disciplined to live a life of celebration. It's the result of living a life willingly and intentional about what you speak, about what you think, about what you invest in and how you actually live. And as we walk with Jesus, we learn the discipline of celebration. We choose every single day to say, today is the day that I choose to celebrate. Because the first thing we need to understand about celebration is that celebration, it builds your values. So be sure to write that down. Celebration, it builds your values. In Psalms 118, it continues in verse 25, verse through 27, thought. The psalmist says, O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. And then he said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us with bows in hand. Join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. Now he says something that is actually a prophetic declaration of what is yet to come. So out of the psalmist's mouth, he says these words that are repeated to a T in the New Testament. He says, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." So where have we heard this? We've heard it in the gospel, Jesus' triumphant entry as he enters with the crowd with the palm trees and the leaves waving, and they yell, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." See, the psalmist hadn't seen with his own eyes, but he was looking ahead at the triumph of the Savior. And in the midst of his pain and in the middle of his current circumstance of confusion, he decided to say, "No, I'm going to celebrate what I value. I'm not going to celebrate the pain that I'm in. I'm going to celebrate the promise that is yet to come." And he says, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," knowing that there will be a day that the Savior will appear and my pain will leave. Now, we can learn a lot from that. It's almost as if he's saying the best is yet to come. And that's something that we say a lot in my church in Oklahoma, is the best is yet to come. Why? Because we're not focused on the pain of the present, because that's not where our power comes from. The best is yet to come. It's not this wishy, flowery, dreaming declaration. The best is yet to come is us looking to an eternity where every tear will be wiped, every pain will cease. The best is yet to come. So when I choose to celebrate in the crossroads, and when I choose to celebrate in the crisis, and when I choose to celebrate in the confusion, what I'm doing is I'm choosing to build my values. I'm building my identity. I'm building who I truly am, not just what I'm going through. Because there is more in you, and you get to choose to build your values. Every single day, by choosing to celebrate, I'm going to choose to develop the discipline of celebration in my life. So I have a question for you today. What and who are you celebrating? Because what and who you celebrate reveals a lot about who you truly are. It reveals your values, because what you choose to celebrate in your life is actually what you're choosing to build in your life. We learn so many disciplines when we look at the life of Jesus. To be a follower of Jesus is to learn the disciplines that Jesus shows us in his everyday life as we read his word, and to be taught and reminded of the Holy Spirit, of who he is and the power that he's given to us. So the beautiful thing about the discipline of celebration is that the discipline of celebration is actually central to every other discipline of following Jesus. The only way that you can walk in strength in these other disciplines, prayer, fasting, worship, Sabbath, is submitting, is to choose to celebrate as you do those things. Because celebration, it's central to all of these disciplines. You know, when I open up my Bible to Psalms 118, this chapter is literally the very center of the Bible. So if you were to divide it perfectly, you would see that Psalms 118 is the very center of the Bible. And I believe that this is a beautiful message for you and I to catch, because we don't just celebrate when we start things and we get excited that we saw God created the heavens and the earth and that he breathed life into man. And we don't just celebrate when we read in Revelations that the coming Messiah will appear and redeem the entire earth and take away that pain. So we don't just get excited in the beginning and the end, but we can stand right in the middle of our pain, right in the middle of our despair, right in the middle of the season that doesn't seem to make sense. And just like the psalmist, we can say, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad. I won't be overwhelmed," because there is nothing that gets past the hands of God. So will you choose, in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of your season that everyone wants to rush through, that everyone wants to fast forward, that everyone wants to just skip forward to 2021, because all we have is today. This might be the last sermon I ever preach, and I want to celebrate what God has done in my life, because he is worthy of my praise. This is the day. Celebration is central to your life. Celebration, it goes in every part of your world. Because can we choose to say that this is the day? In Oklahoma, I was over the volunteers at one of our campuses, and each month we would get all of our team leaders together to see how they were doing in their areas of serving. But the first thing that we would do in our meetings was we would shout someone out in our team. And we celebrated little things to like talking to someone who was alone, to getting more chairs out because we were short on seating, or to being there when someone accepted Jesus as their Savior. It didn't matter how big or how small, but we celebrated each other. And by celebrating, it caused us to open up our eyes to see the good that was happening. Because we all knew that there was work that needed to get done because we were a new campus and most of our dream team, they were new. And so instead of always looking at everything that we constantly needed to fix, we started looking at, wow, look at what they're doing. I celebrate you for that. And more than likely, the person being celebrated didn't think that they were doing anything, they just were doing their job. But we wanted to set that culture of celebration in that campus, and so we were constantly looking at who we could celebrate. Because, I mean, who doesn't love to be celebrated, even if it's just a little bit? Like, it always feels good when words of affirmation are spoken about you, because celebration, it's central to what God has called us to do, and we're constantly building with our celebration. Now, I've been to plenty of parties that have had no purpose, and plenty of celebrations where I've walked out feeling not good. Just then I walked in, and just the conversations were a waste of time. Because when a celebration is called a celebration, doesn't mean that it's going to add value to your life. Celebration, it doesn't depend on the price of decorations or how good the food was. It doesn't matter on any of that. Celebration, it's a spiritual discipline that can take place at any moment of the day. So you have to allow God to open up your heart to cultivate the way that you speak, the way that you see things, the way that your perspective is shaped so that you can live a life marked by celebration. Because see, the world has all of this junk and they're still not happy. But we have what the world is looking for, and it starts when we truly value and acknowledge the here and now. Not tomorrow, not the good old days, but this is the day. This very moment, this must be the day. And I'm going to enjoy this moment. I'm going to trust. I'm not just going to wait for something to happen, for that breakthrough to happen, but I can say, God, I celebrate who you truly are. Because what impresses you? What gets your applause? What gets your praise? This reveals what you value. Do you celebrate people? Because if you celebrate people, it means you value people. You are building that value. Do you celebrate profit? Because that means you value profit. Do you celebrate starting things? Do you celebrate finishing things? Do you celebrate the struggle? What do you celebrate? Because it reveals what you value. Because celebration, no matter what you're celebrating, it's building the values. But celebration doesn't just build values. Celebration, it also builds your relationships. Throughout the Word of God, we see so many celebrations that the Jewish people decided to step into. And every single time they celebrate, you know what they're celebrating? They're celebrating the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. Whether it be a festival, whether it be a birth, whether it be memorializing someone's life that was lost, they're celebrating that God has been faithful. And when you read what the psalmist says in chapter 118, there is something else that he says that encourages me. He says this again and again, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. His love endures forever. You need to hear this. His love endures forever. Why did he choose to say those words? Because that's an aggressive stance. That's a declaration that says, I won't back down what the world around me is crumbling, but I won't stop believing that God, in the God that I serve. He chose the word endure. Why? Because love is steadfast. Love, the love of God is perfect. It's unshakable. It's immovable. You can't destroy it. His love, it endures forever. And so what the psalmist is saying in his spirit is that I choose to celebrate because right now I'm in a season that's less than perfect. It's hard. It's difficult. Everything around me is crumbling. But you know what? I choose to believe. I choose to believe that my pain, it won't endure forever. That these tears, they won't endure forever. The confusion, it won't endure forever. The unrest, the anxiety that sweeps over me, it will not endure forever. And I choose to believe that His love endures forever. And some of you need to write that down. Maybe you need to put it on your bathroom mirror and say it every morning when you wake up, or pray it over your children, that His love endures forever, because He will not fail you. He will not leave you. He will not abandon you in the middle of the fight, because He is with you. You have to choose to say that this is the day where I see and witness that your love endures forever. Choosing to focus on His love instead of the pain enduring, choosing to say, God, I have the ability, despite what I feel, to celebrate you. Well, that builds your relationship with God. It digs our roots deep into a real, genuine, authentic relationship. Because read what it says in verse 13 and 14. He says, I was pushed back, about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. You may feel like you're losing ground, but you actually might be gaining ground. You may feel like you lost months of your life, but you gained more time than you could have ever dreamed. Because the God you serve, the one moment that the psalmist said, I feel like I was about to fall, but I was pushed back. Doesn't 2020 kind of feel like that? Like I was pushed back, but the Lord helped me. How many of you are grateful for the help of the Lord, that in our constant time of need, when we're in trouble, because He's the one that always shows up? And in Psalms 145:16, He says, you open your hands and satisfy the desires of every living thing. We have a God that satisfies the desires of every living thing. So what's not to celebrate? A God that opens His hands to you and to me, a God that satisfies every single desire you have, it makes me want to live like this. It makes me want to live with open hands. Because do you live like this? Is this a marker for your life? I can say this about my parents, that they live with open hands. Whatever they got, I got. And I hope the same can be said about me. And you might be saying, well, I don't have much to give. See, that's the power of celebration. Because celebration is a transformative experience. Celebration isn't just about having a fight in the car and showing up to the birthday party with a smile on your face, pretending that everything's okay. All right, I celebrated. That's not true celebration. Celebration is a transformative spiritual experience where there is actually an exchange that takes place. That when I choose to come to God to celebrate who He is with open hands, with arms of surrender, a heart that is willing to obey and trust God, He transforms me. He takes my pain and gives me peace. He takes my ashes and gives me beauty. He takes my mourning and He gives me joy. He takes my sin and gives me a brand new beginning. Here is this transformative experience and an exchange that actually moves me from a place of brokenness to a place of celebration. And it doesn't just have to be a facade. It doesn't have to be created or manufactured. You don't have to act it out. I can simply and willingly come to God honestly, and He meets me right where I am. He gives me the strength to celebrate, which I truly hold, because I hold His peace, I hold His strength, I hold everything that I need, because He has filled me with His Spirit today. So this must be the day. This must be the day for my perspective to be transformed. This must be the day that I view my life for there to be an exchange, for God to flip it upside down and show me what is actually happening. That even though people have turned their back on me, that God is always faithful. That this must be the day. Because I serve a God with open hand, and He satisfies the desires of every single living thing. Celebration, it comes from obedience. Celebration comes from trust. Celebration comes from relinquishing our plans and saying, "Here I am." He transforms us from the inside out. It's a shift perspective. So what will I celebrate? What will I continue to celebrate? Will I allow my Thanksgiving to build my relationship with God? See, it builds your relationships and it builds your values. But lastly, celebration, it builds your strength. So many times we think that celebration is for starting and ending, but if you hear one thing that I say today, it's right here, right now, is when we need to celebrate most. Amen. The right kind of celebration, the celebration that brings strength for today and vision for tomorrow, because celebration builds your strength. In Psalms 118, verse 15 through 17, now this is the same chapter. He says, "Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but I will live and proclaim what the Lord has done." You can almost see the psalmist talking himself into this, moving from a place of despair, but as he begins to declare the goodness of God, he begins to say, "Your mighty hand, you are victorious." Tents are filled with praise and celebration. And at the end, he makes this declaration, "I will not die." And I speak that over you today, that you will not die, that you will live, and you'll live to tell of the goodness of God. Because he's proclaiming the goodness of God so that he can see his future, so that he can build his strength within his spirit to carry on. And more than ever, we need that kind of strength right now. We need strength to carry us through the seasons that we want to walk away from and give up. Because do you know where your strength comes from? It comes from celebration. We know this because God says the joy of the Lord, it's what? It's my strength. The joy of the Lord, not the judgment of the Lord, but the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So if you're looking for ways to get through this season, you've got to choose joy. Joy is a discipline. Joy isn't just a feeling. It's not the same as being happy. You get to choose joy every single day. And the quickest way to get there is when you get your eyes off your circumstances and when you get your eyes off yourself and what your needs are, and you choose to put your eyes on God and see what you already have. At that moment, you're choosing joy. And that moment, joy creates strength in your life. And when you choose to celebrate, you are building strength from the inside out. A while back, I was having conversation with someone, and they were so excited about my single season. Now, when you've been single in a single season or in any season for what seems like it's taking forever, you're not always super excited about it. And this person was telling me how much they love being married, but sometimes they miss being single and everything that you can do while you're single, and so that I should live it up and enjoy every moment to the fullest. So I took that advice to heart. To the extent where people have been telling me, "I'm having too much fun being single, and do I even want to be in that next season of life?" And I said, the answer is yes, of course, but I'm celebrating everything that I'm doing in my single season. I celebrate the fact that I don't have to share a bed or get woken up by somebody snoring. I celebrate the fact that I can decide what I want to eat and eat it whenever I want. I celebrate the fact that I can buy whatever I want and go wherever I want. But you know what else I celebrate? I celebrate and thank God for not what is only in my current season, but I celebrate the fact that I know that he has the right man of God for me and that he knows the desires of my heart. So I celebrate the fact that I know that his timing is perfect. And it's not always easy. Sometimes I have to talk myself up to the fact that it's taking longer for me than it might be than for other friends. But I still celebrate each and every day because he has put dreams and desires inside of my heart that I might not have had the chance to do if I was in a different season of life, or it might have been more difficult. So I celebrate singleness this day and every single day that I'm single. So when others celebrate what you are in, it helps you acknowledge which you already have. And you start to value it more than you did at that moment. So this must be the day. And that's the power of celebration. That's the power of community, because joy multiplies. As we choose to share joy, it continues to multiply and it spreads and it almost takes on a life of its own. And that's what happens when we celebrate. It builds up our strength. And the more I celebrate my single season and those that I have around me that encourage me and celebrate me in that season, the stronger I feel. Because this, it's the best day of your life, because this is all you hold. This is it. This is the very best day. So let's celebrate and allow God to build strength within us for the future. You don't have to know someone to celebrate them. You can celebrate them by looking them in the eye. You can celebrate them with a smile on your face, because as you celebrate, it builds our strength. Celebration says a lot about what you value. Celebration, it's hidden. It's hidden all around us. And if you open up your eyes to see what God has prepared, celebration directs your perspective, not just in the good times, but in the difficult times. So I want to encourage you. I believe that there is a hidden harvest in this season. I believe that it's been a season of great pain, but I believe in the midst of the pain that there's a hidden harvest, and that every single one of us can realize that as the Holy Spirit unlocks our hearts to truly be disciplined in our celebration, because you see, pain brings new perspective, and I'm being forced to examine myself in a new light. I'm being forced to look at my life in the place that God has planted my roots with fresh eyes. I'm slowing down to survey the soil of my life, because what am I planting? What am I investing? What am I sowing? And what am I reaping? I'm measuring if what I have invested my time in is still worthy of my investment. And if there are ways that I can give of myself more to God has called me to do, because how often does our harvest rot on the ground because we don't have eyes to see what God has provided us with? And it makes me think of the apple trees at my grandma's farm. So many times we never went out there and picked the apples or the pears. They would just fall on the ground and they would be rotted. And it's almost like a wasted harvest. But you see, there's hidden harvest for you today. But it starts when you choose to say that this must be the day. This must be the day that God has made, and I will rejoice in it. Despite what I'm facing, despite what he or she said, despite what my bank account reflects, despite what the news I just got, I can choose to say that this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I pray that the cry of the psalmist would be the cry of your heart, that maybe today you discovered what celebration truly means, that this is the day. And as we close today, maybe you feel like you don't have anything to celebrate. Well, you can celebrate your salvation in Jesus Christ. And I just want to take a moment here to pray. And so as we bow our heads and close our eyes, if today is a day that you would like to surrender your life to Jesus or maybe rededicate, I would just like you to raise your hand, because we would love to pray with you. Amen. Or maybe you just need some more celebration in your life and you know you need a perspective change in this season. I want you to just raise your hand as well. Amen.